Hey, my name is Dr. Brad Double. I'm a chiropractor here in Jackson. I've been doing chiropractic for the last 30 years. I started on my 24th birthday. Had to do it every step of the way. It's been a lot of fun, and I've met great people and had the privilege of taking care of so many people.
What made you want to get into chiropractic, Doc?
It was a unique story. I was going to play college football out of high school. I was playing at Adrian College, so I wasn't getting any type of money for that. But it was something I wanted to do. And then as the journey of my first completion of football season and schooling, my dad passed away, tragically in an accident 2 days after Christmas. And at that point in time, I decided I needed to make a decision on my future employment. So I always wanted to be a physician. I looked at optometry and chiropractic, and I really spent 2 days with each doctor I visited with, and really loved the world of chiropractic and how much interaction there was. And I was helped as a kid with chiropractic with allergies and helping them find out things I was allergic to so I could take it off my menu and not suffer from hives all the time when I broke out as a kid. So I decided that's what I wanted to pursue.
So tell me what a typical day was before the coronavirus.
You know, I was getting up, doing some meditation, doing some exercise, getting into the clinic a little bit early, try to get some things done, then coming in and start seeing patients. First thing in the morning, just laughter and talking to people and taking care of people and helping them, and a lot of hugs to people that needed them, that were as far as, you know, oh my gosh, I'm feeling so much better, and kind of celebration and talking and joining conversation. Be just kind of like when I designed my clinic, I said I always wanted it to be like Cheers, so everybody knew everybody, and it was a great environment for people to converse and have fun in and get chiropractic care. And that's what it was typically like.
And how has that changed?
Oh, well, with social distancing, there's not very many people in our office anymore. We're only allowing 3 people in. You know, it's setting the chairs apart. It's totally changed in that there's no hugs. There's just elbow taps, no fist bumps, nothing like that. And, you know, conversation and the treatments are pretty short. So we keep the interaction very short, and doing a lot of disinfecting, and you know, wearing a mask and wearing gloves, and doing all I can do to be protective for myself and my patients. So it's changed in my mind quite drastically, but it's for what we needed right now, and we'll continue to do it.
What is it and who is it you're allowed to treat right now, Doc?
People that are having emergency type of problems. I know that I've taken care of quite a few nurses, people that work in folks' homes that otherwise may have to go to the doctor or really the ER, and they're coming here getting seen. And they're very thankful that we're essential enough to be open to help them out, because otherwise they'd have to suffer miserably. And it's something that we can offer as a service, and that's what we continue to do, and help people as much as we can.
When did the coronavirus first pop up on your radar, Doc?
Oh, it popped up on my radar very early. I had a daughter that was overseas doing education through U of M, and I had heard about this in China and how it spread to different countries, and she was talking about how she had set up all these trips to go visiting different countries while she was in Spain, Seville. And I said, you know, I really think you should be taking precaution, keep aware, they might be shutting some of these areas down. And then it became very evident when Michigan called all of their students back in, and then with that, she called me and we talked about when she should come back, and she wanted to finish some school and some testing on a Tuesday, and then that discussion was on a Monday, and so she was going to go wait another a week before she come home. And then driving home on Wednesday night, I got a phone call from my son saying that President Trump was going to close the border. So that really changed things dramatically with the sense of urgency of getting her back. And luckily enough, we were able to do that. I called her. It was probably 2 o'clock in the morning. She was what college students were doing. They weren't going to go to school, so they were out at the bar having some drinks with a bunch, like 20 of them. And then she said it was like a scene out of a movie. She goes, my phone rang, and then 10 other people's phones rang at the same time. And then they just kept ringing of parents getting hold of their kids saying, hey, we got to get you home.
Where was she again, Doc?
Go ahead.
Where was she again?
In Seville, Spain. Most people know Seville through the Games of Thrones, that where the dragon destroyed the city. That's kind of where she was at.
So how did you go about getting her home?
Well, it became a very panicky situation very late at night. Or not late, no, it's probably 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and we just started calling the airports, getting online, finding travel arrangements, and luckily enough, we were able to find her a flight out to get her into Britain, the UK, on Saturday, or Friday, and then she was coming back to the U.S. on Saturday, because she got in Friday, so Saturday. And there was a ticket that was, $3,400 that was out there that I almost clicked, but we were up to find something much, much cheaper. And so then she got into the UK and then got home to America, and didn't know this, but she told me, she's like, "That, you know what, Dad, you actually picked the right airport." She goes, there's only so many airports that are letting people through. And she goes, Chicago was one of them. And she goes, well, a lot of my friends, they got diverted, or they got to a certain area in the UK or other areas throughout the world, and they couldn't go into the cities they had destinations for because the United States said you could only come into certain airports. But from what I've heard is most of the kids got home and to do that. And, when she came home, we were all, I'm all masked up, keeping social distancing. Luckily enough, I was able to give her my house, and I have a place I can stay at my clinic. And she was quarantined, then the first day she came back, she was tested and tested negative. So we were very happy to escape that adventure without anything negative going on besides a lot of stress. So at that point in time, I figured that we were in for quite the I didn't know it would be at this level, but there was going to be some extreme things going on. So,
Doc, back to your practice, what kind of effect has this had on you emotionally?
Like with everybody, as a small business owner, you're always wondering, hey, what's going to happen? How long is this going to continue? Will I be able to pay my bills? I mean, it's been pretty stressful, I think, like on everyone. But I believe that I'm going to make it through this. I have a good faith in God, and we're going to get through this as a city, as a county, as a state, and as a nation. We just got to keep doing the things that they're asking us to do, and even though they may be painful. But there has kind of come to a point where, I worry about how these kids are going to get back to school. I think about that, and how things are going to, what will the new normal look like? So actually, I've been thinking a lot about that, just to kind of preparing office procedures where we can, they're going to be different. That's kind of really where my mind has been, is thinking about that, but also doing a lot of reading and doing a lot of, updating in my clinic and cleaning. And so I've been fortunate to take advantage of that and do some more learning. So
the world of chiropractic is pretty well interconnected. What would you say is the overall temperature of your profession right now?
I would say 85% of us have applied for that PPP program, the payroll protection program. So I think that in itself says a lot. And everybody's choice of whether to stay open or in a limited schedule or help people, or some docs like, I don't want to do it. It's all individual decision. But overall, I think everybody, like in the small business realm, we're all concerned about, what is it going to look like in the future.
I've witnessed you interact with your patients, and yours is a very empathetic practice. It's a very compassionate practice. once again, from an emotional standpoint, are you experiencing any type of emotion when it comes to not being able to see some of your regular patients?
Yeah, my elderly patients. I feel for them. You know, they're living alone. There's nobody there for them. You know, a lot of elderly patients in any doctor's office will come in and like the camaraderie, it's kind of an indent they've got going on. And I feel really for them. I really do. And not to mention now, I think of my, you know, my families or the mothers that are, you know, at home with kids and that dynamic to, you know, somebody who is, you know, at home and maybe their home life isn't that good. I feel about them, those people stuck together because I have those people in my practice they take care of. And so there's a whole dynamic here that I feel that, you know, I pray for them because, you know, I can't get them back to their normal routine. And a lot of those people really want that. They want back in that normal routine to have some type of normalcy, have anything, to have a sense they have a control of their lives. Because right now, that's not the case. They can control. You know, this is the biggest thing I tell my patients and I tell anybody. We talk about this is you got to control your droplets. You got to be responsible. You can't be sneezing or coughing on anything or out in public. You know what? You're doing that and then stay home. I mean, that's where I think the social responsibility to really doing this is that. I mean, there's been some great episodes on ER doctors on, you know, that have posted videos on how they feel confident in defeating this, and a lot of it is really washing their hands with social distancing. But, everybody has to be socially responsible in doing those activities because really when we step out into the future, that's going to be the thing that's going to continue to get us to where we can continue to defeat this. So, to kind of defeat this. So I hope that we can continue to do that. So.
It was March 13th when the executive order came from Governor Whitmer to close schools for 2 weeks. The next day, I'll tell you personally, I didn't realize the gravity of the situation. And I was doing stand-up comedy in Munising, Michigan, in front of 100-some-odd people. Came home and realized the gravity of the situation once again. And for 2 weeks, I was extremely nervous about showing symptoms. I wonder if you were feeling the same way around that same time because of the amount of physical contact that you have with patients. If there wasn't a waiting period for you before you could finally feel comfortable enough that you weren't symptomatic and weren't going to pass anything along to somebody else.
I felt pretty confident based on kind of what we do in the clinic already on trying to keep things clean. I also felt very confident in that I was, you know, because of the instance of my daughter coming in and protecting and getting where. So I was reading up early on that stuff to how to prevent it and so on so I could pass it on to her if she did end up going to different countries. So I really think that education early on was something that really helped me feel comfortable to continue my life and functioning and making sure that I'm doing all the right things that I thought should be doing before I think it really got going. But again, it was just because of my daughter's wanting to go travel and how that COVID had gotten early on, like I think early March ended or February, that's when our spring break was, thinking about going to these other countries.
So, Doc, you had alluded to it earlier, but if you could expound on it, the changes in your practice and in chiropractic and in healthcare that are going to resonate long after the all clear is there. What do you think those are?
Scott, I you know, if we were the same thing, I mean, there's going to be only so many people in the office at a time. It's going to take longer to, it's going to be ultimate cleaning, longer to be seen. It's just going to be something that's going to be very, you know, like letting you into the practice. you know, if there's so many people in the practice and we can't let anybody else, we have to lock our door, like we have been doing, and just saying, okay, next person will come get you. So, you know, really didn't know exactly what it is besides the continuing clean, the continuing masking, things like that. That's what I'm thinking that'll be my part of doing as I try to continue to help patients. You know, I just really hope that we get some testing that can be happening very quickly because I think that'll be very helpful in helping to coordinate this off.
Stress and being physically tight definitely leads to back problems. Depression leads to poorer posture. Is chiropractic needed now more than probably ever?
Well, we all know what cortisol is. It's the chemical that gets let out in our body when we're in the fight flight through the sympathetic nervous system when we're in this fight flight stressful situation. You know, you're gonna run from the tiger, you're gonna fight the tiger. Well, we're kind of in that scenario constantly with the stress that's going on. At everybody's at a different level, and as a result of that, I mean, you think about your blood pressure is going to go up, your muscles are going to get tight, you're ready for action. You have the stress of that, which is going to cause any type of spinal related issue to become worse because those muscles are going to get tight. They're going to pull on the joints. The joints all of a sudden now, if they were having any type of inflammation before because they weren't moving correctly because of abnormal biomechanical motion, it's going to accelerate that. And then that can create inflammation. That's going to create inflammation, which then is either going to amplify people who have chronic problems or it is going to create a lot of problems in other people that maybe they didn't even know they had. As a result of that, that's kind of what chiropractic helps and has been shown to help the most for. And, you know, it's drugless. So we don't have to worry about feeding somebody a drug that they're going to get addicted to. It's just by hand restoring motion in the spine, which allows muscles now to function more correctly, the joints not to deteriorate. And the number one thing is that there's less inflammation around the nerves. It's going to allow the nerves to function better. So there's better communication at the level where you're making that adjustment between the brain and the tissues going to that level. And as always, I mean, chiropractic survived to over 100 and coming up on 125 years by the principle of the body, you know, functions better, it becomes healthier. And with that, you have better health. So, I mean, we're doing more and more research to establish that. We don't have enough out there, but unfortunately, we don't have a lot of investors like drug companies doing that for us. So I really think chiropractic really, really has a role in helping people that are having problems. And the number one thing, it's not addictive in the sense it's not a drug. You know, and we know how much opiates have created problems in society. And when you look at some of the stuff with that, I mean, if we could turn to use a drugless approach that increases the function of a person's spine, that affects their how they feel in a positive way, and all of a sudden now their body can just relax because it feels better physically, and that's going to help them emotionally. And, you know, I always tell patients, when you feel good physically, you can be better emotionally, and how much better are you going to do with interaction with your fellow people? Because when you have a headache, you know, as well as I do, you don't really want to go out and talk to a lot of people. So, I mean, to me, it's always like, if you can get your spine healthy and your body's working better, you can be healthy naturally, eating right and do other things. You're a better person in your community, and that just makes for a better community.
Doc, I have one more question for you, but I want to, if there's something I haven't asked you or something else you'd like to say, I'd like to give you that opportunity.
No, Scott, go ahead and ask the last one.
All right, today is April 11th. Dr. Double, if you could go back and talk to yourself on Monday, March the 2nd, knowing what you know now, what would you say to yourself?
You better start planning. That's probably the thing I would reflect back on, is you have to start planning for everything that's coming. And you need to work diligently at preparing yourself, your business, and continue to get the credit. And how are you going to help your patients, you know, in this? And what will that look like? And educating, you know, if I knew, I'd be educating like crazy, just to try to help that out, help people out and understanding what's coming. and part of me would be like, geez, I can't even imagine this. I mean, this is one of the things that, the old people like us have said, well, you never had a bad winter like, well, we've had it. We had to go through this. Well, this is something we can't ever relate back to like that, because nobody's been through it. So it's one of those things where it's, I almost would like have to say tell myself, oh my gosh, is this really going to happen? Because this doesn't even sound like anything that's ever happened in the past.
Doc, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time this morning, and your passion for it is really coming through, and I appreciate that.
No problem, Scott. And thank you for all you're doing for the community and the radio station and and the Kibben family, and keeping going and informing people and bringing some great stuff to the airwaves for people to listen to and enjoy.